Welcome back, everyone, to the Hikes Peak Podcast. Thank you for coming back to the mountain. The Mountain West made its latest realignment addition, with Northern Illinois joining the conference as a football-only member. We'll break down what the Huskies bring to the table and what the future of the Mountain West now looks like. After that, we'll catch you up on what's happening so far in Mountain West basketball, going through our current power rankings. You'll hear what teams are clicking and what teams are short-circuiting, complete with each team's most impactful players. Fun episode this week. Let's dive in. Starting on the administrative side, it was announced last week that Northern Illinois would be leaving the MAC for football and joining the Mountain West. This is a pretty large addition for the Mountain West to make. Geographically, they have never gone this far east. This also continues the trend of the Mountain West being pretty focused on TV markets, or at least proximity to a large TV market, as NIU is close to the Chicago market. But on the field, Northern Illinois has a track record of being a very solid program, and I think they'll fit right in with the rest of the Mountain West. Since 2003, the Huskies have gone to 15 bowl games, including an Orange Bowl appearance in 2012, which was in the middle of a five-year stretch of double-digit wins. So this is a program that has had some very dominant stretches, made a BCS bowl appearance. Some of you guys may remember Jordan Lynch, their quarterback back in the day. He was a beast, one of the true group of five darlings from the early 2010s. The Huskies head coach Thomas Hammack has piloted NIU to back-to-back bowl wins, and this year especially, we must mention that they had an all-time upset on the road against potential national champion Notre Dame. So not only has NIU proven very recently that they can beat anybody in the country, they actually may be a week away from a transitive national championship if they're the only team that ended up beating the quote-unquote best team in the country. So who knows, maybe NIU is going to be a national champion in a week. We did mention that the Huskies are only joining the Mountain West as a football member currently. From what the NIU brass is saying, it does sound like they're open to leaving the MAC for their other sports. It sounds like they're taking their time and evaluating their options for the rest of their athletics, either staying or leaving the MAC. So that is something to monitor, but the NIU football program is the top attribute of this Northern Illinois program, and it's a very big add for the Mountain West, no doubt about it. This could also mean that Toledo could be behind Northern Illinois joining the Mountain West. Northern Illinois and Toledo were the two teams that it were reported that the Mountain West was making a very heavy push towards a few months ago. So now with the Huskies officially joining, maybe that takes some of the worries away from Toledo's athletic department, and they're more open to that move somewhere down the line. As for what the Mountain West is going to look like in 2026, the teams that are still going to be in the conference are going to be Air Force, Hawaii, who is now an all sports member at this point, Nevada, New Mexico, San Jose State, UNLV, and Wyoming. So we do have those original seven, and now they are up to nine football teams with the additions of Northern Illinois and UTEP. And the conference did also make two non-football adds that you may remember, UC Davis and Grand Canyon University. So with the Mountain West now at nine schools for both basketball and football, they are in a very good spot in terms of the conference's longevity. There's no real risk of the Mountain West dissolving at this point like there was a few months ago. Props to Gloria Navarez for navigating the conference through that situation. You know, the Pac-12 still hasn't added any new schools since they took those original five from the Mountain West. While maybe some of these teams weren't on the Pac-12's radar, it's still taking options off the board for the Pac-12 to find their eighth football program. As of right now, they still need to add a FBS school before 2026, or they're still not going to be viewed as an official conference because they won't reach that 18 threshold, and you can't add an FCS school because they won't be able to elevate to reach that requirement in time. The options for the Pac-12 and their eighth school are just very limited at this point, and a big part of that is the Mountain West making proactive additions like Northern Illinois and UTEP, and the non-football adds like Grand Canyon, who especially was definitely on the Pac-12's radar since they already added Gonzaga. Moving on to the college basketball power rankings, we are already into the thick of the college basketball season, although this is the first time we've really dove into it on the show this year. So this section will be more of an overview on how each team's been doing, but more specifically, Sunday's matchup between Boise State and Utah State was an all-timer. We're going to listen to the ending of this one, starting with the Aggies down by 4 points with under 2 minutes to play.
Martinez is open. Martinez hits a three. 1 point lead for Boise State. 14 for Ian Martinez. Shot clock down. Cardenas driving. Cardenas left hand and he's fouled.
And what a luxury for Leon Rice to have Cardenas arrive through the transfer portal. Played big minutes at San Jose State for 3 years. Seemingly makes the right decision time and time again, but he misses the first.
He missed a couple. 1 point game. Utah State ball. 40 seconds left.
Martinez hit a three a second ago. Wonder if they go right back to him.
Falslev on a cut. This is Martinez. Back to Falslev. Nice move. That's Allen. One hand with the bucket. And a 1 point lead. Cardenas against Temple. Bowie driving, kicking. Cardenas got it. Big three. 12 seconds left. 2 point lead. Timeout. Utah State. Aggies down two with a ball. Got to get it in. Martinez, it's a three, and he's fouled, and he hits it! Two-point lead. Boise State has a timeout. Cardenas up the floor. They're not going to use it. This is Bowie. Down to three. Got to get a shot. Cardenas on the way. Oh, he missed it, and Utah State holds on.
So yeah, Utah State pulls off a miracle comeback win to improve to 16-1 while the Broncos drop an absolute heartbreaker. Now for the rest of the league, we're going to go from the top of the power rankings down to the bottom, starting with those Utah State Aggies. They're 6-0 in conference, 16-1 overall, as we've mentioned. They've been nationally ranked for the last 2-3 weeks. Ian Martinez and Mason Falslev, their two superstar wings, are all Mountain West shoe-ins already at this point, both averaging over 16 points a game with a couple assists. Mason Falslev's averaging over 2 steals a game. And besides just those guys, they have incredible depth with 7 other players that have been great options for head coach Jared Calhoun. Guys like Carson Templin at the four, Dexter Acano, the small forward transfer from Oregon State, Drake Allen, who's been a phenomenal point guard option for them. Utah State's really rolling, and Jared Calhoun has not allowed the Aggies to miss a beat in his first year at the helm. At number two, right behind them, we have New Mexico, who is also undefeated in conference play at 6-0. Overall, they are 14-3. Donovan Dent has been as advertised. He's still playing like the best point guard in the Mountain West. He's averaging 19 points and 9 assists a game, both leading the conference. And the Lobos have also had a couple other players break out. Mustafa Amzeal at the 4 and Nelly Jr. Joseph at the 5 are playing the best basketball of their careers. Mustafa Amzeal averaging close to 14 points a game, his career high. Nelly Jr. Joseph, still a double-double machine who's only been more efficient on the offensive end, which is so encouraging to see. And they've also gotten a breakout year from True Washington, who was a freshman guard that played a lot for them last year. Now he's averaging 11 points a game, a really solid scoring option for them off the bench. This New Mexico team has a lot of depth. They are headlined by Donovan Dent and those two seniors in the front court in Amzeal and Junior Joseph, but there are still scoring options besides those guys. They also have CJ Nolan, the North Texas transfer. Like you, Utah State, New Mexico is in a very good spot to make a run for the Mountain West Conference regular season title. Down to number three, we have San Diego State, who is currently 10-4 with a 3-2 conference record. Homegrown small forward Miles Bird and FAU transfer Nick Boyd are the only Aztecs currently averaging above 10 points per game, but the 6 other rotation players have all had flashes of brilliance. I could talk about this all day. BJ Davis, the sophomore point guard, has had some incredible performances. Goon Gwath, the redshirt freshman that starts at center for them, has just been incredible in spurts. He's still a bit raw, but he can do a little bit of everything. And then you have a bunch of freshmen that have played really good minutes, guys like Pharaoh Compton and Taj DeJauerville. Both of those guys have picked up freshman of the week honors from the conference. And while this Aztecs team maybe doesn't have as prolific of a scorer as Jaden Lede, by no means is Miles Bird and Nick Boyd as your top two options a bad top two there. That's enough to compete for the top of this conference, and with with the amount of depth, the amount of room to grow that that depth has, San Diego State is in a very good spot to make another run to the tournament, and this definitely seems like a team that's just going to get better and better as the year goes on. At number four, we have the Colorado State Rams. They are sitting at 10-6 overall with a 4-1 conference record. Started a bit slow in out of conference play, but have really started to put it together with a couple of big wins to start the Mountain West schedule. Nick Clifford is their leader, as we expected. He's averaging 17 points and 10 rebounds a game. He has been phenomenal, continuing to elevate his draft stock. And we knew how good he was going to be. The question about the Rams was going to be who would step up behind him. Jalen Lake has certainly stepped up. He's averaging over 12 points a game, giving them a big volume boost in the scoring department. And they have seven solid pieces that fill out the roster from there. You got some youth with guys like Keon Evans, their sharp shooting guard, and Rashawn Mbembo, their versatile power forward. And then you also got some experience that they added from the transfer portal that's been working out pretty well. There's Jalen Crocker Johnson, the freshman of the year from Arkansas Little Rock, who's been playing some big minutes at the five for them. And welcome back Huskies NIU transfer Keyshawn Williams, who has really been a solid scoring option for them off the bench. Wouldn't be surprised if he works his way into the starting lineup with how many things he can do. It's still up in the air whether Colorado State can make it back to the NCAA tournament. They're not really a shoe-in like the first three teams that we've talked about at this point. But if Colorado State keeps rolling and plays well throughout Mountain West play, they're going to be close, at least on the bubble. At number five, we have Boise State, who is sitting at 12-5 overall and 4-2 in conference. Preseason Mountain West Player of the Year, Tyson Dagenhart, is playing up to that billing. He has been phenomenal this year, playing even better than he has in years past. Alvaro Cardenas, the San Jose State point guard that transferred in, has played just as efficiently in his new uniform, while Andrew Meadow, the sophomore small forward, has officially arrived. He's averaging 12 points and 5 rebounds a game. He's started for them all season long, and he has been a big addition to this team scoring-wise. One of the things that has been dragging this team down is the play of Omar Stanley. He has struggled and has lost his starting job, at least the entrenched starting job. He's still starting every other game, I would say, but this is definitely not a guy we expected to be on the bench at all, considering he was in the running for Mountain West Defensive Player of the Year just a season ago. And I also do want to mention JUCO transfer Javon Buchanan, who is definitely making a run for Mountain West Sixth Man of the Year. Overall, the Broncos still working out the kinks. You're going to need somebody to step up a little more with Eganhart. If Alvaro Cardenas and Andrew Meadow and Javon Buchanan are all averaging around 10 points a game, that may not be enough. Kind of want to see one of those guys get closer to 13 or 14 points to take some of the pressure off of Tyson Dagenhart on the offensive side of the ball. But overall, I'm sure Leon Rice and Boise State will figure it out. It seems like whenever they get a really tough loss, like we just listened to in the Spectrum Center, it seems like Boise State's able to regroup and go on a run. We'll see if they're able to do that. Now we move on to our sixth team. We're going to move a little quicker here as these teams have struggled a bit more throughout this season, starting with Wyoming at number six, who is 9-7 overall and 2-3 in conference. Sundance Wicks has done a very good job with the Cowboys immediately. They're competitive in every game. They play really hard. And Obi Ogbi, the Fort Lewis transfer, is going to be an all-conference selection, averaging over 18 points a game, running the show for them. He's been a phenomenal pickup for this Cowboys team. And they have a cast of characters that are contributing behind him. A lot of really fun names. You got Kobe Newton at point guard, who's one of the best three-point shooters in the conference. You have Jordan Nesbitt, who's just a game wrecker. Not exactly the most efficient guy, but he's still going to get 10 points and 10 rebounds a game, and he's going to mess some stuff up in the best way possible, I might add. You have crafty scoring veterans like Tuco Tynamo, who's a beast power forward they got from Denver, who's hit a couple of really big shots for them down the stretch. Is Wyoming going to make the NCAA tournament this year? Probably not, but they are definitely moving in the right direction. At number seven, we have Nevada, who's been one of the bigger disappointments of the Mountain West preseason, at least. The Wolfpack are 9-7 currently and are 1-4 in conference play. Started the Mountain West schedule off with four straight losses. Nick Davidson is still a beast at the power forward spot, and Kobe Sanders, the Cal Poly transfer, has been a solid replacement at point guard for Jared Lucas. He's averaging 15-5 on the year. Their supporting cast hasn't given them enough, though. Trey Coleman and Fresno State transfer Xavier Ducell have been shaky, while underclassmen Justin McBride from Oklahoma State and point guard Tyler Rollison have had to take on larger roles than anticipated. Both those guys have done pretty well, averaging over 6 points a game. Justin McBride has really been making a lot of impressive plays whenever he's on the floor, but just overall, it doesn't seem like Nevada's gotten as much production as they assumed they would, especially from the transfer portal, because offensively, offensively, it's really just been Nick Davidson and Kobe Sanders, which just hasn't been enough for them at the start of Mountain West play. So Steve Alford's going to have to figure some stuff out if the Wolfpack want to get back into March Madness. At number eight, a similar story to Nevada. UNLV also sitting at 9-7, and they are 3-2 in conference play. Deaden Thomas Jr. is still a baller at point guard. He is no doubt the best point guard in the conference, not named Donovan Dent, but the rest of the team has lagged behind. DePaul transfer Jaden Henley has been great for them when healthy, and under the radar transfers Jalen Bedford from Oral Roberts and New Mexico JUCO center Barrett Cherry have been solid starters. They have a few other solid rotational pieces too, but they just don't appear to have the scoring volume around Deaden Thomas Jr. that they need to win games in the Mountain West. This past week, they had two conference games, lost them both by 22 points. Kevin Kruger's got to go back to the drawing board to figure out how to get this Rebels team back on track. At number nine, we have San Jose State, who is 8-10 overall, 1-5 in conference play. I gotta say, Tim Miles has his team competing in most of their games. This is a pretty fun roster to watch that has no quit in them. Josh Adugie, the sixth man of the year from last year at Utah State, is one of the top scorers in the conference right now. He's been a great pickup for them. And UCLA transfer Will McClendon has been great as the Spartan showrunner. After them, five players are averaging at least 7 points per game, which is an encouraging sign. This team seems to be a lot more competitive than last year's roster. Are they going to win the conference? Probably not, but they have enough talent to upset anyone. I'm very confident when I say that. And moving on to number 10 and 11, similar stories here for Fresno State and Air Force. The Bulldogs are 4-13 and are 0-6 in conference play, while Air Force is 3-13 overall and 0-5 in conference play. So both of these teams have essentially eliminated themselves from any kind of postseason contention. We'll see if they're able to upset some teams down the stretch and make some noise that way. But as of right now, Fresno State and Air Force are nowhere near the March Madness picture. Vance Wahlberg in his first season at Fresno State has been struggling to put a cohesive roster together. They're definitely trying their best. Their biggest transfer pickup, Amar Aguilar, the JUCO player of the year, left the team at a certain point after about 7 or 8 games. So that was another big loss. It's just been a bit of a disaster year for Fresno State in this one, but there is still time to put it together. And the Air Force is doing their best like they have in years past. Ethan Taylor and Jeffrey Mills are doing their best, but it just doesn't seem like there's enough there for the Falcons to make significant noise in the Mountain West at this point. That is it for this week's episode of the Hikes Peak Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I can't wait to fully dive into the college basketball scene over the next few months, so hang on for the ride. Also, our Mountain West transfer tracker is out now and updated constantly, so you can find a link to the full list of portal entries in the description of your podcast app. Follow us on Twitter at MWC Connection and find all of your Mountain West news at MWCConnection.com. If you enjoyed the episode, rate the show 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening on, or leave us a review on iTunes. Nothing helps the show out more than that, so any ratings would be greatly appreciated. Thank you again for listening. This is our 85th episode, which is a number I never expected to reach, and yet here we are. Until next time, I'm Jack Thompson, and thank you for coming back to the Mountain.